My name is Jason Wierich, and I am the Director of Agronomy for MFA, Inc.
All right, 2018 planting season underway, a little slower than normal, but still gearing up in a lot of places. And Jason, you're going to talk to us about the training, looking ahead to farmers who plant Cama-tolerant crops. You had some training over the winter to get farmers really super educated, and it's a requirement of the EPA on these dicamba products because they are now restricted use pesticides. Tell us how that training went and how many farmers you were able to help out.
Well, when we look at the training required by the EPA, that is a state required or a EPA required, as done by the state. Dr. Kevin Bradley did a lot of that training, or did all the training for the state of Missouri for those guys as a requirement to make the applications of dicamba. We did a lot of stewardship training with our producers. We talked about why it's important that we have this technology going into the future. We're looking at going into November of 18. Potentially losing the technology or losing the herbicide over the top, depending on how well the 2018 growing season goes. So we knew that it was important to steward this technology and talk about the importance of using labeled products, that being Fexapan, Extendamax, and Ingenia, and really trying to show the improved formulations and how well they do compared to the old formulations, and the importance in tank mixes and nozzles, and all the tank mix additives that are on the list of approved additives for the tank. So we spend a lot of time talking about how to do it, why it's important, and when to use the technology is really what we focused on in a lot of our training.
So what are some of the tips that you can share about what you've educated growers about? What are some of the most important things?
When I look at the most important things, it's really important to understand that this is not a silver bullet. It's really important to know that we're going to be really effective using this technology early, and that burn down our early season window from a standpoint that it's not going to bring down those 2 to 3 foot tall weeds. And if it does, it's just an early pathway to resistance. So we really focused on using these tools in a burn down situation and then still utilizing overlapping residuals to carry our weed control home. So putting out a residual herbicide and then coming back 24 to 30 days later with a second shot of residual and try not to even use the technology or the herbicide over the top is really what we focused on.
That's interesting. Because why?
Well, when we look at the off-target movement we've seen in the 2017 growing season, we realize that when we have off-target movement into reproductive soybeans, we know we have a greater chance of causing yield loss. Now, I'm not advocating that we have any off-target movement, but, even with Roundup Ready systems, LiverLink systems, we still have off-target movement. So we do the best we can as applicators out there. I know that our intentions are very well, but we're going to have a little bit of movement. So if I'm going to have movement, I'd rather have that on vegetative soybeans instead of reproductive soybeans. Because if I hit reproductive soybeans, it's not as matter as if I did cause yield loss, it's how much did I cause that yield loss.
Okay. Talk about the window of time in the state of Missouri for application.
Well, the state of Missouri, they've got the counties down the booty on the southeast part of the state that are getting cut off on June 1st, and then the rest of the state is getting cut off on July 15th. And we at MFA, we kind of set up our own rules as far as what we're going to custom apply. So farmers are going to be able to follow the state guidelines, but if MFA is doing the custom applicating for our producers, we're going to have what we're calling sentinel plots out there where we're going to scout the fields. The label says through at the beginning of R1 is a labeled time frame for the use of the new improved dicamba formulations over the top. So we're going to have plots in each one of our regions. We're going to have a total of about 80 plots we're going to be evaluating with the average maturity group in the area and the average planting window time frame. And when those plots hit R1, we're going to stop spraying custom applicating dicamba type products over the top. So that's kind of what MFA is doing, different than what the state is. So when we look at the average start flowering date in the state of Missouri, that June 21st to June 24th is really the first type of window when we start seeing that beginning of flowering for the majority of the beans in the state of Missouri.
And then will you adjust if you need to, depending on, if there's a late planting situation with the weather or anything like that?
That is exactly correct. That's why we went with the average planting date by maturity in each group, from a standpoint that if I just said, hey, we're going to shut it off July 1st, if we go back several years ago, we had that preventive plant, we had beans not even get planted till July 1st. We want to make sure we're reactive with what's happening in the geographies in which we represent.
Well, the approach of having those plots sounds pretty good. I mean, that's your sort of backstop and your indicator of what's going on in the different regions of the state, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, when you look at the federal label saying we can spray these products through R1, and when those beans hit R1, we know that the majority of the beans in the area are going to be at R1, so there's really no reason to be making those applications after that point anyway.
Now, are you guys doing any of this? I know you spread out to a couple of other states as well in terms of your reach, Iowa, Kansas, and North Arkansas as well?
Well, Arkansas is a little bit different. They've got more restrictive guidelines than what we do. So if the state restrictions are more restrictive than what ours are, then we're going to follow the state. But in Kansas and Iowa, we're doing the same thing, that if you know, when we hit that R1 in our soybeans, that's when we're going to shut her down. Now, if we look at southeast Kansas, the majority of those beans in southeast Kansas are double crop soybeans. So they're not even getting planted until that June 15th to July time frame anyway. So their date's going to be different in southeast Kansas than what it is in northeast Missouri. So, like I said, we're trying to be reactive within our geographies. But, yeah, our protocol is going across all of our stores and all the states that we provide service to.
Which means you're planting in all of those states.
That is correct.